From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And folks, I'm the one who's missed out. I had to travel. I had to speak at a couple conferences. I missed you guys for a couple weeks. In fact, a couple of historic weeks. And there is so much on my mind right now that I have to start with really what is the most important things that are going on, and I got to get away from the day-to-day right now. And I was down yesterday over at CNBC on the Worldwide Exchange talking to the maximum amount of people that I could, because something is going on that is super important. Outside the stock exchange yesterday, by the way, there was a camera crew and a woman walking around asking everybody how they feel about this bailout. How do we feel about this bailout? And this is the whole discussion. This is the congressional hearings. This is what is the call of the day. And with these greedy creeps on Wall Street, how do we actually bail these guys out here right now? So let's go over a couple things right now. And I don't know if you watched the speech last night by President Bush, but he couldn't have said the more wrong things. And it is a shame what is happening, and it is sad. Let me start with what's the most important part, is that, folks, this is not a bailout of Wall Street, of Wall Street individuals, or of Wall Street firms. Okay, this is the most important thing you need to understand. Lehman Brothers is trading at 24 cents. Fannie Mae is trading under a dollar. Bear Stearns executives lost 99% of their worth. Okay, these companies have actually not been bought out or bailed out. They've been taken under. And the United States, according to this plan right now, is actually seizing their assets for what will become an enormously profitable trade for the United States. Now, in my new book right now, we were talking about risk being redefined. We've now heard for months as sovereign funds from Saudi Arabia and China are coming in and buying into our companies, whether it's Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, you know the names, putting billions of dollars of assets in and buying stakes in these companies. They're not trading these companies, by the way. They're coming in at extremely attractive prices, buying large chunks of the company with the anticipation of investing in them and being part owners in them over the next 50 to 100 years. And only when you look back in 50 or 100 years will you know whether or not they made good investments. But of course, in fact, they have. Now, anybody who remembers when Countrywide Credit was actually an independent company and ran their business successfully, they made actually billions of dollars, because being a mortgage lender is a very, very profitable business. And if it's run right, there's billions of dollars to be made. By the way, I remember meeting the chairman of Countrywide Credit, where he was being lauded as one of the great, great success stories in America. Well, yes, they dropped their lending practices. Yes, they lost a lot of money. And yes, they got their clock cleaned. And here the United States is coming in into an enormously profitable business and seizing it on pennies on the dollar from Fannie Mae. And so let me just try to cover another very, very important point. Bush got on the stupid television, started talking about the enormous problems in our country and how the financial markets may seize up and how the country may seize up. And what he was simply doing is putting the fear of God into these senators and congressmen, saying you must approve this plan, you must approve the plan, we cannot. Well, obviously the plan is going to get approved. Obviously this bailout actually is going to work. They need to come out in front of their constituents and act like they care, act like they were watching the ship, and try to embarrass everybody else. But yes, this thing will pass, and yes, we'll get through this day. But what Bush did not talk about was the fact that despite the country feeling and being in a recession, which is a normal part of a business cycle, there are bear markets, there are bull markets, there are recessions, and there are expansions. This is the natural order of things. This is, in fact, a textbook bear market, which is coming to its conclusion shortly. However, what he came on to say was so horrendously stupid. The fact is, there is 95% of all mortgages outstanding are current within 30 days. There is an enormous amount of property in this country that is owned outright with no mortgages on it whatsoever. The fact of the matter is we've always talked about the bell curve in here. There's always 5% of the population which is struggling. There is 90% of the world's population which is nothing more than just average and muddling through. And then there's 5% doing exceedingly well. And the problem is we all like to look at train wrecks for whatever godforsaken reason. So the truth of the matter is the country is not in a dire shape or in any condition in terms of seizing up or failing to work. The right thing to say right now, actually, is that there are more people working in America, showing up for their day-to-day job and going to soccer games on the weekend with their family than any time in the history of the United States. We have more tonnage being moved from one place to another. We now have record exports from the United States to other parts of the world, and we have a line circling the world dozens of times of people dying and waiting and trying to cheat and find their way into this country so they can become taxpayers and try to live the American dream. So yes, the fact is I have a chart that I like to show on our presentations that the death of equities is way exaggerated. We all talk about the top being made in 2000, and ever since then, well, the global stock market is approximately $25 trillion larger than it was in the year 2000. So yes, in fact, $1 trillion was just lost by some idiots over-leveraging themselves into fixed income because yields were too low and there was simply too much money swashing around at low yields, so they were sold a bag of goods. These bag of goods are not as valuable as they were before, but strangely enough, the global stock market is smaller than the bond market, smaller than the cash market, then there's the real estate market. The combined total value of these markets is in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. So yes, $1 trillion was just lost. And believe me, I'm glad I didn't lose it. I'm glad you didn't lose it. But the reality is that is a small percentage of the global net worth. And the fact is that most people do not know, but they need to know, the Fed is not a government agency. The Fed is actually a publicly owned company, folks. Check in, Do your own homework and call me up and tell me what you learned. The Fed, that's right, is a publicly owned company. Look into who the largest shareholders of the Fed, and you'll get some answers to actually what's going on here right now. Now, the truth is, when I set up the Magnet Investment Group about 12 years ago, after being a broker for 10 years, I never in my wildest guess would have ever imagined that Magnet would be around after Bear Stearns, Fannie Mae, Lehman Brothers, now Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley turns around, pre-announces what they felt were great earnings because they said they had to do it early so people would know how good they were. 12 hours later, they put up a white flag and said they couldn't remain independent anymore. Well, a lot of this has to do, and one of the great books will be written. The question also is, who eliminated the downtick or the uptick rule so that people can begin spreading rumors around companies, shorting their stock into oblivion, and then buying these companies out at 24 cents on the dollar? And I believe, unfortunately, and I've said this all along, folks, there's a very, very tough business that we're in. The good news is that there is a now a combination of record amount of cash on the sidelines. Not everyone's broke. I said cash on the sidelines combined with maximum and, in fact, at this state, unanimous pessimism. And that combination leads to good things. So we're not saying the bear market is over. This, in fact, is one of the roughest months the stock market has ever seen. The loss of confidence, the loss of trust is something I've talked about on this show for years. It is just enormous in scope. It is disappointing. And then you have just the world's worst speech yesterday on why this bailout, which is not a bailout, and why they're doing it. In fact, the U.S. government, working with the Fed, has gone ahead and seized the assets of some companies with some very, very solid businesses. So I know you're not hearing this on the public media. I know it's a little bit of a different take, folks. You need to do your homework. After you've read and looked through the chart of who owns the Fed, let's talk about this some more. Now, good news is, folks, we have the, what we have to say, the world-renowned Robert Prechter coming on. I don't believe Robert is all that bullish on what's going on, but I'm not sure. One of the leading experts out there in technical analysis, and Elliott Wave is joining us next. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back for more profitable investing right after this quick break.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk, heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
With thousands of homes destroyed or damaged by fire, lots of people are wondering what to do next. If you are a wildfire survivor, SoCalHelp.org can help you find support and decide what to do, right now, wherever you are. This easy-to-use website is a place you can go to get immediate help with food, shelter, and important medications and start getting your life back on track. Get help now with insurance, legal issues, and find professional services like doctors and counselors. You can access contact information for national agencies, hotlines, and services that have the resources you need. You can also connect with other survivors and people who can help. For the answers and support you need to rebuild, visit SoCalHelp.org.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it is my pleasure to bring on the legendary Robert Prechter onto our show, one of the leading authorities on the Elliott Wave, technical market analysis, a couple wonderful books out. And Bob, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, and I really appreciate you having me on. I just need to correct one thing. I think I'm formerly legendary.
No, Bob, that's the whole point here, and this is what I wanted to bring up. For our listeners, and these guys, a lot of folks, maybe not our listeners, they have a very short attention span. People don't learn enough history. They don't know enough about what's taken place in the past. There was a time when you were probably one of the single most sought-out analysts, and I know that you might not have that kind of sought-afterness right now. This is why we're having you on right here. The fact of the matter is the names change, the game changes, the stocks change, and the commentary changes. But what doesn't change is human nature, charts, and I happen to think that it's a privilege to have you on. Now, the last time you and I actually, you were on our show before, but you spoke at a conference that I spoke at also. I know at that time you were enormously, in my opinion, enormously bearish on the conditions of the overall market. I just need to know, and I'm not going to even jump into your background any further. Tell us what we really need to know about where we are today and what we need to be thinking about for the next 6 months and 1 year.
Well, I wouldn't correct any of that. You're exactly right. I was enormously bearish, and I know that you've got some concerns as well. I think to a great degree we're on the same page. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, I was as bullish as you could be, and people said, well, you're crazy, you know, Dow 4,000, you're nuts. Well, it even went way beyond that. Well, I've been bearish for a long time, mostly because of the Elliott Wave pattern, and that's technical, 100% technical. But when you look at the technical patterns, you have to decide, well, okay, what are the fundamentals that are going to come around? And the obvious one that has been finally revealed in the past few months, starting in August of last year, is the credit bubble. It's the biggest in the history of man. And if the politicians think they can get the system out from under that, they can't do it. So when I wrote Conquer the Crash, it was all for individuals like the people who listen to your show. It's all about how you as a person, as an individual, can sidestep the whole thing. You don't have to get caught up in crashing stocks and bonds going worthless and any of that stuff as long as you're ahead of the game.
Right, well, staying ahead of the game is the key, and again, we look back, and let me just throw out the most dangerous words of this time it's different, but Bob, we do have enormous amount of cash on the sidelines. We do have unanimous pessimism in the market. How come this time that doesn't translate into a bottom like it did in 81 and maybe even in 02, where we saw these same kind of record levels of cash built up in the money markets?
That's a great question, and I think the answer is, let's flip the question around. It's 1996. There are bullish headlines everywhere. The market's flying. Why isn't this the top? And then in 1997, why isn't this the top? 98, 99, 2000, we have a 50% correction. The Dow and the S&P managed to choke out a new high in 06, 07. The answer is these trends can go on quite a long time before you see the classic indications of capitulation. You're a market watcher. I haven't seen any capitulation in the market. In fact, there have been 5 instances just in September when the market has opened with a huge up gap or closed on a huge premium because of the anticipation of some news. This is classic behavior in the hope stage. I think we're still in wave one. I mean, we've got 4 to 6 more years of this. So if people are afraid now, I think it's only a hint of what's to come. If the markets are volatile now, it's only a hint of what's to come. And you know, in 1929, the big banking cartels tried to come in and save the market, and it failed. The Fed has tried to save the market, and it has failed. It's now going to the last, the lender of last resort, the U.S. government. And ultimately, that's going to fail, too. But then they might appear to succeed for a short period of time.
Right. Well, pretty heavy news. Now, let me just throw out another thing. I mean, I'm going to guess you're going to point towards gold, towards commodities. One of the things that has blown me away is I believe we're in this economy where there's just more and more people, more and more countries. We're going to need these basic materials. You see gold make this dramatic run to 1,000, get knocked down to 750 within such a ridiculous short period of time. Is it too much money and too few instruments, or what's creating this level of volatility? Let's just say in gold.
Well, I have a little different opinion there. I'm not a big fan of investing in commodities. I think they've had their run. That was the last, along with real estate, which peaked in 2005. Then we had a commodity follow through, which peaked in 2007-08. I think that's the last of the inflation-related investment runs. And so I'm really not invested there. What I've been saying is that cash is going to be king. Cash is the one thing that people are going to have extreme trouble getting their hands on. Cash is what these big banks in New York desperately need. They've got plenty of IOUs up to their eyeballs, and people used to think they were the same as dollars, and they're beginning to realize they're not. So I think the best thing a person can do is have actual cash. Now, cash comes in two forms. It comes in the form of gold, as you say. It also comes in the form of pristine IOUs from entities that aren't going to fail. And in Conquer the Crash, I said there are some good governments out there in terms of managing their currencies, such as New Zealand, Switzerland, and Singapore. And those are good places to hold cash for a while. Some of them even have decent returns in terms of yield. So I think one reason gold is starting to get volatile and people attract interest is that people are saying, I'm going to need real money. Mm. However, I think for a short period of time, maybe a few years, it's going to be difficult for gold to take off because there'll be such a thirst for the dollars that people owe. The IOUs have to pay interest. They have to pay principal. People need them to pay their payrolls. That's the legal tender of the United States. So I still am holding out for a deflationary period in which whatever dollars survive have more purchasing power value than they have today.
Wow, absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think it's completely different than what everyone else is saying. Almost every piece of commentary you hear is that the Fed actions are going to be wildly inflationary. You're looking for a deflationary period of time. Do you have any clue, I mean, through the waves, how long that lasts or when you can come out of a bomb shelter and start deploying cash?
Yeah, my view, I've got to warn your listeners, is totally contrary to what almost everyone is saying. The subtitle of my book is How to Prosper in a Deflationary Crash. I think we can already see that it's happening in many areas. Stocks are down 20%. Commodities are down 30 to 50% high to low. So I think we're seeing the beginnings of it. Now, here's a great question. I think a lot of people have been saying, it's obvious that this move by the government is inflationary, so you have to buy gold. How obvious was it at $253 an ounce that you needed to buy gold? And as a technician, you know that that's the engine of the market. You want to buy something when everybody is completely uninterested, and if you went to somebody back then and said, you need to load up on gold, they'd have looked at you like you were crazy. Why waste my money? I'm going to buy real estate, right? Well, now it's so blatantly obvious, that I'm going to quote Joe Granville on that. What's obvious is obviously wrong. Now, I'm not saying that gold can't go up. That's a different statement. But I am definitely saying, no, it is not obvious you want to own it here, because it is so obvious to everybody with these blatant moves. Now, when the government move fails and the stock market starts down, even though they've passed a bailout and people really start getting worried, I think they'll be throwing the baby out with the bathwater, trying to raise money, trying to raise cash, and that could mean some pressure on the commodities and even the metals. But it is real money. Gold is the only real money, and everyone should have some at least.
Right. I got to tell you, it's heavy what you're saying. What I love about waves, and I love about certain point and figure type analysis is downside objectives. Do you have a downside objective to the stock markets? And everyone looks at the Dow or the S&P. We'll throw those out first. Do you have a downside objective?
I've got a downside objective that's very low and probably lower than anyone would think possible. But at the same time, you have to realize the market went up way more than anyone thought possible in 1982. And it did it all on credit. Credit is something that is created literally out of thin air. It's stacked up on top of cash. It's stacked up on top of collateral. One bond supports another until you get a giant inverted pyramid. Well, those IOUs can disappear, can go out of existence as fast as they went into existence, and that's deflation. And when that happens, I think they'll be throwing stocks overboard as well. They'll be canceling dividends. And so there'll be all kinds of reasons for stocks to go lower that people will only see, you know, several years from now when they all look obvious. But let me add this very important thing. The downside is not just money. It's not just the price of stocks. We're talking about a social downside here. We're going to have extreme unrest of all kinds. You're going to see a very angry electorate. I said in my book, page 200, they're going to ban short selling. It's a stupid thing to do because then you won't have nervous shorts having to cover every now and then and give you a sharp rally. You're going to start getting this dribbling down effect. That's what happened in Pakistan when they banned short selling in June. Japan has had ban on short selling, China, and they're down 65% from the high, way worse than we are. Banning short selling is stupid, but it always happens. So many of these things are predictable. You've got to get out of the way as an individual. Make sure your people know that.
Really, really heavy stuff. Let me just say, we only have a couple minutes left on the segment, so I want to stop to allow you. I know you have your websites. I know your books are available on Amazon. Maybe drive the people where you want to drive them. Where should they get more information, Bob, on all of your books and your thoughts, maybe your newsletters as well?
Well, you know, people can get the total benefit of what I'm telling them without paying me a penny. They can go on Amazon, probably find used copies of Conquer the Crash. It's spelled out pretty much what's going on today and gives you in the first half of the book, and the second half of the book tells you what you need to do as an individual to get out of the way. You can probably buy it for, you know, used for $7 or something like that. If you want a new one, that's great. Go to Amazon, that's fine. But really, before anybody even got a subscription, if they're interested in our website, come on to ElliottWave.com, ElliottWave.com, and they can check us out. We have a lot of free material there. But really, the only thing I'm saying that they should do is, you know, spend a few bucks out of their wallet and buy Conquer the Crash from somebody else who decided, you know, they got all they needed and they're already positioned and they're safe and they don't need it anymore.
Right. Well, listen, Bob, it's a pleasure having you on. I'm not sure I agree with everything you're saying, but that's what makes a market. I think that you've got way too much insight, way too much experience not to have the public hear what you're saying. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I want to have you back on a little bit more frequently if I can, because these are uncharted waters, and people need as much advice as they can get. I really appreciate your time.
Well, some days I'm not sure I agree with myself, but the main message is safety.
Hey, listen, let me wish you the best of health. I hope you have a fast car and a strong gun. We might need it in this environment is what you're saying.
All right, keep your people safe, Jordan.
Okay, I appreciate that, Bob. Folks, we got to take a quick little break. We're going to be right back with more profitable investing. We will have on one of the most successful global exporters you'll ever meet. Wants to talk about oil, wants to talk about China. Folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more profitable investing.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Our team of investment professionals, supported by our quantitative magnet stock selection process, is committed to the goal of providing excess market returns to clients around the world. We target the fastest growing companies that are still trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. Companies in this category are likely to enjoy dynamic earnings growth. We call these companies magnets. They tend to simulate investor response and create powerful returns. The value-added benefit of magnets' quantitative analysis and portfolio management has been extraordinary. After ranking all eligible companies, we only buy less than the top 1% of the companies we monitor. The first step involves quantitative analysis of individual companies. Often special situation companies with a market niche are captured by our screening process. Our strategy is intended to take advantage of our global economy while achieving long-term capital appreciation.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. Really a pleasure to bring on our next guest, one of the most accomplished and probably one of the most traveled guys we're going to have on for a while. Please let's welcome Neil Asbury. And Neil, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Jordan. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
All righty. Well,
it's a great
we've
honor.
Got folks from all works, experts from all fields. Neil, one of the things I like to joke about, some people ask us to come on. They tell us they're experts in China or this and that. When I ask them, either they've been there once or never. What I'd love you to do is to please go over just a couple of minutes of your own background, how you got to where you are right now, and then I want to get into the things that interest you the most these days.
Well, Jordan, I spent almost my entire adult life living in Asia. When I first moved to Asia back at the late 70s, of course, China was still very much a closed society. A China experience would be climbing up a hill in the New Territories in Hong Kong and kind of peering down through the trees into the valley there and seeing a sentry of the Red Army there guarding the border. Of course, many things have changed since then, but so my experience greatly has come out of my years of living in Asia. But today, we're the largest exporter in North America in the commercial food service industry. In fact, we're the national champion U.S. exporters for 2008, a distinction, the highest distinction in the United States in international trade. It's an award that was given by President Bush to me in the White House back in April. Our company does business in 130 countries. We have offices here in South Florida, in Hong Kong, and Dubai, and we have a sales force that's just traveling just about anywhere and everywhere you can imagine every day of the week. The sun truly never sets on our company. That's just a little just a background.
Right. Well, Neil, I think it's a wonderful background. I read through a few of the articles about you in Inc.com and some of your own comments. on China's environment. But, you know, what I want to touch on what you just mentioned is if you read what's going on in the papers, America is just, it's closed. Our factories are closed. We have nothing. We're not respected. We don't sell anything to anybody. Now, we need someone to come on and set the record straight because, from my understanding, our exports hit an all-time high this year. If you're selling to 137 countries, someone's buying an awful lot of stuff.
Let me tell you, Jordan, America makes all kinds of really cool stuff. The problem is in American ingenuity and our ability to compete on the world market. The problem is that the world market is corrupt and skewed against us. And, you know, the political process that's unfolding right now and how our trade agreements are taking a lot of heat, especially from the Democratic candidate for president, is just mind-boggling to me. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, one thing he wants to do, he wants to opt out or renegotiate NAFTA, the most important piece of trade legislation in the history of the United States that our Congress has ever enacted, that has created more American jobs than almost any other agreement we could have ever negotiated. He wants to get out of it. He wants to opt out of it. Let's go back to 1994, to when before NAFTA was enacted. If we were to go back, Mexican products entering the United States would increase by about 2%. It would be quickly absorbed into the manufacturing overhead, and that essentially would mean that Mexican products would see no increase because of going back to pre-1994. However, American products being exported to Mexico, the 40-odd manufacturers that I represent in Mexico, American manufacturers, their products would go up 30 to 40%. In other words, Mexican customers would drop our products, resulting in millions, tens of millions of dollars of lost opportunities for American manufacturers, resulting in hundreds of thousands of jobs. We don't need less trade agreements. We need more trade agreements, and we need comprehensive agreements that deal with the environment, that deal with labor rights, that deal with intellectual property protections, and so forth. So, you know, America can compete. America has nothing to fear about the international marketplace. It's just closed to us. I mean, the manipulations, the distortions, the barriers that we have to go through it's just so frustrating because, conversely, those countries, those trading partners have free access to our market. You know, I just was doing I do publish and I write a lot, and I'm just working on a piece on taxes. I mean, taxes and, of course, this big bailout. I mean, I guess it's a very appropriate subject. But just assume that American products, because of these barriers, because of not having the kind of trade agreements in place like we have with Mexico and Canada, we lose somewhere between $500 and $700 billion a year easily in manufacturing revenue. That translates at $150,000 of revenue per U.S. job, at $30,000 a job. That translates into 3.5 to 4 million jobs. It translates into just in corporate profits and individual taxes paid in that $500 to $700 billion business that we're losing because of lack of trade agreements, into somewhere about $100 billion a year in tax revenue. I mean, just think of what that would do to improve our country.
You definitely come up with a problem. Who's preventing these trade agreements? Is it us? Is it international?
Well, one is, you know, I mean, we could spend your whole hour on that, but, you know, of course you have WTO, which is the trade equivalent to the United Nations, only wackier. There's no way you're going to negotiate trade agreements with 160 countries, each with veto power. So forget about WTO. WTO is dead. Forget about it. We need to enter into bilateral agreements. If I was in a position of power, I would immediately insist and demand on a free trade agreement with China. I mean, I don't want everyone out there to choke on their chopsticks because, I mean, that sounds so outrageous. But we need trade agreements with countries that have the lion's share of our trade deficit. villain number one is China. And as an American exporter, that's been, you know, that I was in China, one of the very first groups to ever go into China after it's opened up. You know, as you can see, I owned a manufacturing company that built all the kitchens for McDonald's for China. You know, we built like what, 400 or 500 McDonald's stores in China. You know, so I've been very intimately involved with China. I can tell you, American exports to China would skyrocket if we had the same access to their market like they have to ours. So we don't have anything to fear, but we need to normalize trade relations. What's that?
Is it their government that's preventing it?
Yes, of course. Well, number one is that the tariffs and the barriers and the approval processes that we have to go through, you know, they have what they call their CCC mark, the China Compulsory Certification, which is a mark that we need to get on our products before we can sell them in China. This testing laboratory is owned by the Chinese government themselves. It's not independent like the testing laboratories in the United States. So they use that to regulate what products are allowed in and, conversely, how much they charge and how much time it takes to go through the approval process. And to go through the approval process, you have to turn over all of your formulas, your engineering drawings, everything about your product, and put it in the hands of some technocrat that's making $200 a month and can zip it around to, you know, any other manufacturer in China in a nanosecond and have millions of dollars of your R&D. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Where is our government in protecting us against this nonsense that translates into billions and billions of dollars of lost business for the United States? You know, I just wrote a piece recently and I did research. It is estimated that the United States loses $200 to $250 billion a year in lost sales in China because of intellectual property theft. That's basically equal to our entire trade deficit with China. I mean, it's so outrageous. It's so outrageous, the things that's going on preventing Americans from doing business.
Right. Well, like I said, I know you have access to the White House. It's words like this. It's actions like this, not complaints, but actionable ideas to solve it is really what we need. I know that there's so much discussion on how we're becoming a third world society, yet I know we continue to be the breadbasket to the world. We continue to have huge exports. I know it's happening in all kinds of ways. What if, and I got to tell you, I'm not an expert on international trade, which is why I'm so happy to have you on. What did I not ask you? What do you think, what else do you want to bring out here?
Well, what I want to say, and I know we have limited time, but what I want to say is that, you know, all of the problems that I kind of outlined here have solutions. They have really wonderful solutions for the American worker, the American taxpayer, things that are going to allow us to invest in our country, to invest in our infrastructure, in our education, and renewable energy, and whatever else it is to continue to make us the greatest country in the history of the world. But it's not going to happen by accident. We're going to have the sort of trade agreements out there that give Americans, entrepreneurs, the access to the markets to generate this wealth that we're so great at doing and pulling so many people along with us and investing into our society and those things that we need to keep us the great country that we are. So solutions do exist, and they do exist within trade, and the power of trade is absolutely immense, but we are just sacrificing it. We are squandering it away. And as an exporter who's representing American workers every day out around the world, and, you know, I see the things and the barriers that have been erected against them so they cannot reach their full potential, it absolutely drives me nuts. And,
I need to interrupt you. It's
sure.
A fascinating subject, but I can't let you off. We're out of time, but I can't let you off without you sharing your website and anywhere people can get more information about you.
Thank you, Jordan, so much for the opportunity. You know, I do write, I do publish. You know, I've been in a number of magazines on national television, and I continue to update my thoughts on international trade, the latest cutting edge things that are happening on AsburysWorld.com. That's my blog where a lot of my pieces are are presented and continue to be updated. And that's ASBURYSWORLD, asburysworld.com, for the latest on international trade, and not only highlighting the challenges, but offering real solutions to these problems.
Beautiful. Listen, we got to cut it here. I want to have you back on. It's fascinating, and it's absolutely important to the country. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey,
folks,
Jordan,
we got to run to commercial. We'll be right back with more profitable investing, and thanks again for joining us. That was tremendous.
Thank you, Jordan.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspect of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, folks, and welcome back to Profitable Investing. And folks, I don't know about you, but you have to understand, we just had on two of the highest experts in their field, tremendous experience. Now, I'm going to be the first to say, I didn't agree with what Bob Prentice said. We're going to have Bob back on again periodically. And again, if you don't know his name, this was one of the single most sought-after commentary guys ever, and I don't think he's right now about what he's saying. We want to have guys on in all different walks of the world, and what I actually think, and I want to get into, you know, back of what I see is going on. We're in an environment, folks, where billions of people are actually moving into the consumerism phase of the world that we've never really seen before. Now, I'm not saying they're going to become Democrats or Democratic, and I don't care about that. The fact is, although I do believe in the free market, what's more of what I believe in is the actual consumerism. What that means is not everyone having a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus. That means everyone having a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich if they can get their hands on one. That means having an egg, cheese, bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll if they can get one. And if you're hearing me right, you know I need to lose a couple pounds. I just gained a couple pounds back. I need to hit the gym again. But what I really mean it, folks, people want to eat better. They want to live better. They want to have a refrigerator. They want to have a toaster oven. And believe it or not, what we take for granted here in the United States is just becoming available internationally. And people talked about, well, they finished building Beijing, so it's over. Well, no, they're building their own consumer base there that they don't even really need to export to the United States in a few years. And we didn't really even get a chance to hear Neil talk before about the exports right now taking place in China to Singapore and Malaysia and Vietnam right now, and the unbelievable size of the population there that simply wants to have a little more and eat a little bit better and travel a little bit more. So, yes, the United States is not going to be the only superpower. And if our 4% of the world's population start to consume 22% of what the world has instead of 25%, well, that's okay, too. And if we go from eating 4 meals a day down to 3 meals a day, and the rest of the world comes from 1 meal a day to 2 meals a day, that is enormous, enormous pressure on commodities. It's enormous pressure on basically everything. So what I see is we're going to go into a inflation level that we haven't seen for a while. We know that it's in the government's interest. I don't want to be anti-government here. It's the government's interest to keep reported inflation numbers down. In our next book, we are using some work from John Williams and Shadow Statistics, who shows you, had they not actually recalculated the cost of living index created in 1970s to keep track of inflation, current inflation is really running at about 13% this year and has been averaging over 9 for the last 5 years. So we hear about 2 and 3% going up to 4%. Folks, if you bought anything lately, whether it's eggs, food, shoes, sneakers, college, vacation, sports tickets, concert tickets, we know that a 4 or 5% inflation number is as fictitious as the abominable snowman. So what we really need to do, it's about ownership, but it's not ownership of everything. It's ownership of the right things. What Bob Proctor did talk about, what every smart older guy talks to me about, is never bad to have a suitcase of cash stuffed somewhere in case things go on sale and you want to take advantage of them. But this concept of a long pronounced, long-term deflationary is, in my opinion, it's wrong. And it will actually put you in a position where you won't be able to afford the rise of the cost of living. So this is a great debate. That's why, in fact, there is a stock market. What I remind everybody about, it's not a matter of what looks cheap, what went down the most in price. That's not how you make money. How you make money is identifying cash flow at a discount, investing in them when they go on sale, and riding them through and compounding your money. This month has been absolutely disastrous for anyone who follows fundamentals. We saw oil crash and Continental Airlines go up. I mean, what are we talking about, folks? What we are really talking about, and this is the key, what I said before, there is an unbelievable amount of money in play here right now that can't figure out where it can get any return. So it's almost like a half full truck of a fluid that keeps making turns, and all the water rushes here, and then it makes another turn, all the water rushes there. There is absolutely a heightened emotional trading that's going on that has very, very little to do with fundamentals. Fear is rampant. Cash is built up to the sidelines in unparalleled amounts. This is how bear markets end. I'm not sure that we're at an end here right now, and I'm not sure the low price. All I can tell you is any buys in the $10,000 and $11,000 range are going to look very smart in 3 or 5 years. If we hit $9,000, buy some more Exceptionator fund. What we're asking you to do is look at our fund of the top cash flow companies in each sector. And dollar cost average, don't let fear paralyze you. Buy a little here, buy a little here. If it goes up, buy a little more. If it goes down, buy a little bit more. And folks, I'll go back to a number, and I want you to sit down when I say this, okay? Make sure everyone's sitting. Okay, now, Warren Buffett comes out and says, if the Dow only does what the Dow did last century, which was go up around 5 or 6%, including a little extra dividend help, so say 6-7%. Well, it would have to go, if it went from the same level over the same distance from 1899 to 1999, where will the Dow end in 2099? At 2,011. I just said it. I hope you were sitting down. 2,011, and we're right now at 11. You tell me whether that sounds like a good buy or not. Well, folks, all I can tell you is stay grounded. This is an emotional roller coaster, dangerous, more dangerous than any I've ever seen. Dollar cost average in, turn off the pundits, and have a great day. Enjoy your family. Enjoy kid soccer if you have it, and a little ode to the Yankees. Well, we'll get them next year, folks. We'll see you right here next week. More renowned guests, best information on Wall Street. We'll see you next week, folks. Have a profitable week ahead. See you then. Bye now.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.